Last 3 weeks I've been telling you about your enemies, the flesh, your flesh, the world, and the devil. Well, it's no good to tell you about your enemies if I don't tell you what you can do about it. So tonight we're going to look at the armor of God, the full armor of God. And that's one of the first things a new Christian should learn about, is that armor of God. I don't think anybody here is a new Christian, but reminders don't hurt sometimes either. And this is one of those topics you can go back to again and again, because I think sometimes we tend to forget. We need to know how to use it. We need to be reminded of how to use it. Because there will be a spiritual warfare with that world that we live in, with the flesh that we live in, and with the devil who's trying to stop us in our Christian walk. How we respond to those battles is going to determine our own spiritual condition as well as our service to the Lord. The devil, you know, he's determined to mess you up, mess up your Christian life through this spiritual warfare. And so we need to be prepared for his attacks. We need to be able to recognize them. We need to know what to do about it. Think about it. Since this is a war, a spiritual warfare that we're talking about, so think about a soldier in a battle. It'd be extremely foolish for a soldier to go into battle without any armor or any training. From the very beginning of organized armies, soldiers have undergone some form of training to prepare them to do battle. First, they got to go to what's called boot camp or basic training. Okay, and they need to get properly conditioned. They get physically strong. They get mentally prepared and emotionally ready for that battle, ready to fight and to learn the fundamentals of discipline, teamwork, and whatever else is needed in that battle. And then after that, you get the basic training, and then you need more advanced training in that armor. You're going to be introduced to different weapons, tactics for different types of war that you're training for. And eventually, that soldier will be assigned to a special group, special unit that matches his own talents and special training. And then after all that training and preparation, then he's ready for battle. He doesn't just sign up one day and then go out and fight the next. You understand? That never happens. Okay, the Christian soldier engaging in spiritual warfare is going to have very much the same experience as that of the regular soldier engaged in physical combat. God has a special place and will for your life. And if you're properly trained, you'll win battles, you'll do well. But if you just jump into the fight with no experience, no training, you're going to fail, and you'll probably end up dragging other people down with you. The Lord, he's given instructions, he's given lessons all through the Bible on fighting the good fight. But the Bible gives us specific instructions concerning the armor that we are to use for the spiritual battle. Who knows where that armor is written about in the Bible? Where that is? Where do we find that in the Bible? The full armor of God. Ephesians 6, thank you. So let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 6. And it's good to know, I'm not saying you have to memorize this, it's good to know where to find it, because you're going to want to show new believers, you know, if you're going to lead someone to Christ, they get saved, you don't want to just turn them loose and forget about them. You're going to try to help them out, show them what I'm showing you tonight. Okay, so at least know where it is, and then try to remember all the parts of this full armor of God. All right, so let's read beginning in verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, so that tells me we've got to rely on the Spirit of the Lord. We've got to rely on His power and not on the energy of our flesh to do battle with the powers of darkness. Okay, it's going to take proper use of the armor that God has furnished for us to overcome the devil's attempt to destroy our Christian life. Okay, that armor is available to every single Christian, so we need to make sure that we are not just putting it in a closet and forgetting about it. All right, so let's look at this armor of God. Verse 11, put on. It's something you got to do. Your responsibility to put it on. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what wiles are? You ever heard? You ever seen the Roadrunner cartoon? That Roadrunner bird, he's always running, beep beep, being chased by who? Wile E. Coyote. He's got lots of wiles. He's got lots of tricks. He's always thinking about some way he can catch that bird. Well, that's like the devil. He's got his wiles. He's wily. Okay? He's thinking about ways he can catch you and trip you up and eat you. All right? We need to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the armor that's described in the verses that we're going to be reading here is the armor such as the Roman soldier used for battle in Christ's day. They were trained for battle, and then they put on the necessary armor to ensure they had the best possibility of success. The child of God today is no different. He's got to be trained in the way of a Christian soldier and put on the armor correctly if he expects success in his Christian walk and in his service to the Lord. All right, let's read some more. Verse 12. Let's look at the foes here, the enemies. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. All right. So the enemy here is obviously not your normal enemy. He is not a flesh and blood adversary, we're told here. This is the roaring lion. This is the devil himself and his demonic partners of deception trying to deceive you. You're no match for the devil. I think I mentioned that already when we talked about him last week. And so without the whole armor of God, your Christian life is going to be fruitless, and it's going to be of no use as a vessel to be used by God. And I don't think you want to waste this Christian life that God's given you. Okay, look, we do want to make the most of it. All right, so this is very important. Now notice in what we just read that we're told to stand. That means don't back up, don't slow down, don't stop. Okay, there's no instruction here for us to flee from in the battle. You know, there's no retreat here. The armor gives you both of offensive and defensive weapons that you can fight with. And it will enable you through the power of the Holy Spirit to continue forward and to be winning the battle until the Lord calls you home. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt. What does that mean, girt? That's encircled like with a belt or a band. You know, if you're going to fight or you're going to work and you're wearing like the Arabs wear, you're going to pull it up and tie it up with some kind of a band, girt. You're going to girt that up. And here you're going to girt your loins about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. All right? Now, a man's strength and a woman's strength is in their loins. And so you're told to girt them about with truth. Well, a truthful man is a man of integrity. It's a man you can trust, a man you can believe. He's honest, he's dependable, upright, respectable. That's a strong man. That's the picture there. Okay? Loins girt about with truth. The breastplate protects the heart, protects the lungs, and the vital organs in the warrior's upper body. As a Christian's righteousness protects him from the enemies we've talked about, the world, the flesh, and all those traps that are set by the devil from Acme Company. That's what Wile E. Coyote uses. The characteristics of a righteous man is one who is good. Okay, that means he's added to his faith virtue, right? He's just, he's pure, and moral. Okay, that's how you recognize a righteous man. And if you're saved, you're already declared righteous by God. That's doctrinally. But you need to live it in the flesh. You need to put it on. That's why it says put it on before you go into battle. Don't leave home without it. although none of us, we know, none of us is perfect, but we've got to be faithful enough to try, okay? Strive for that personal righteousness. The Bible says in Leviticus 20, verse 7, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." The Lord wants you to be holy. We need to want to be holy, righteous. Verse 15 says, "And your feet shod," what's that mean? Shod, put shoes on, all right? Provide your feet with shoes. "Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Okay? Gospel of peace. Think about that. You go out there with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not bringing about world peace. You're not stopping wars here in this country and that country. And that's not the kind of peace it's talking about. You're giving people inner peace, peace that they never knew before Jesus Christ came into their life. And the foot soldier, you think about a foot soldier, they move around a lot over some rough territory. And so they absolutely must be shod with a good pair of army boots, right? And so the what is implied here for the Christian is obviously that we need to be well prepared to spread the gospel wherever our feet might take us. And of course that means we need to, that's another thing we need to be doing. Okay, you can't, your feet don't have a mind of their own. You got to use your head. All right. And as the soldier needs to go to boot camp to prepare physically and mentally and to learn discipline and how to use his weapons, the Christian must also prepare spiritually in the same way, very much the same way. Trying to bring the gospel to the lost sinner, hey, that can result in disaster. If you're not properly prepared, properly trained, and led by the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying it's impossible. You can, a brand newborn Christian can at least tell someone what the Lord did for them. But we need to know that Word of God. We need to be prepared to bring that gospel of peace. Okay? We need to know what we're talking about. Know what God said. Let's see where we're told to do that. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." All right? That's a command. We need to be ready. That's preparation. Be prepared. Preparation of the gospel of peace. And remember what the Lord of the house said in Luke 14:23? He said, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Well, a Christian soldier is to move against the enemy and spread the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth so that our Lord's house may be filled. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Jesus speaking. "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." You will be my witness. He said, "Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Not just in your neighborhood, but get your boots on and get out there and spread it. All right? Witness. And then once a person is saved, you know, they're reconciled back to God by Jesus Christ. He provides that reconciliation. Where before there was enmity between us and God, Jesus Christ brought us reconciliation. He brought us friendship. He restored that relationship between man and God once we receive Him as our Savior. And He's given us the same ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is still has to do with being prepared and getting our feet out there in the world and witnessing for the Lord. That is our ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse number 17, which I know you're all familiar with, but we're going to go beyond that verse. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." All right, so he brought us reconciliation by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We're supposed to do the same. Tell people about Jesus Christ. To wit, what does to wit mean? It just means, I'm going to explain it now. It means, that is to say, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So we've been reconciled by Jesus Christ, reconciled to God, and we are supposed to go out and tell others, you be reconciled to God. How do you do that? You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay? Reconcile, that is to reestablish friendship between two. Okay, friendship that was lost. You mend that relationship. Okay, look at 1 Peter chapter 3. This is all part of those, you know, having your feet shod with the preparation of righteousness. 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Okay? In his suffering, he brought us to God, where we were before separated, not anymore, because he died on the cross to bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Okay? So that's that reconciliation, and that's our ministry. Tell people what Jesus did so that they can be reconciled to God. Okay? Prepare your feet. All right. Let's go back. Ephesians 6:16. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You think about that Roman soldier. No sensible Roman soldier would ever go into battle without a shield. Okay, that the shield, when properly used, would deflect the flaming arrows and the spears of the enemy. It's protection. Okay, the Christian without faith in his Savior is without any shield to deflect or to quench the fiery darts of the devil. If you don't have faith, that devil's going to get those darts in your life. Those fiery darts, what do they represent? They come in the form in many forms. It could be sickness, okay? Something to bring you down, something to make you doubt, something to make you doubt your salvation or give up or quit. You know, it might be sickness. It might be some suffering you have to go through or some loss. You might lose a family member, lose some money, lose a job, some kind of controversy, some kind of dispute at your job or between a family member. Someone might be disloyal to you. Okay, that's a fiery dart. False doctrine could be considered a fiery dart. You got to be prepared for that by faith, right? Faith in what God said in His Word is going to protect you from false doctrine. Okay? And so the devil, he'll use anything to destroy your Christian life, make you lose your testimony. That's what he's trying to do. He wants to discourage you and keep you from serving God. And so it really doesn't make any difference what form the fiery darts come in or what trick or wiles the devil uses. You've already lost if you don't have faith. Faith is absolutely essential. Cannot do without it. Without faith, it's impossible to be saved, right? And it's impossible, what else? To please God. Hebrews 11:6. Romans 3:22 tells you without faith you can't be saved. So obviously you can't deal with the devil if you don't have faith. Now, even if you have the faith to get saved, you can still be lacking faith in other things. Remember in Mark chapter 9, let's take a look at it. Maybe you're not familiar with this. Mark chapter 9. This was the father whose son, he brought his son to Jesus, whose son had a dumb spirit. The spirit prevented his son from being able to speak. Okay, that's a dumb spirit. And look what he says in verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. All right, so there's faith. He believes. Then he says, help thou mine unbelief. All right, so does he believe or does he not believe? It's both. He believes that the Lord is capable of taking care of that situation, but he knows there's some other areas where the Lord needs to help him increase his faith, just like us. We had faith to get saved, and we had faith to do some other things for the Lord, but we might be lacking in other areas. Okay, just like we discussed in another Bible study this last Friday about some weak areas that we have in our Christian walk, in our wheel of life there, and witnessing. You know, if you lack faith, it makes it hard to get out there and witness. You might need to ask the Lord to increase your faith. Help thou mine unbelief. Okay? And then another important thing concerning our faith is I need to be concerned about your faith. I should be praying for your faith to increase. Look in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. chapter 3, verse 10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. All right? So not only praying for someone's faith, but here actually helping them to with their faith by teaching them the Bible. Okay, perfecting that which is lacking in your faith. So you don't have perfect faith right away. You may never have perfect faith, but we need to help each other where we're lacking. All right? And that way, you know, we've got different size shields. The shield of faith, it's big. The bigger it is, the safer you are from the wiles of the devil. All right? And let's go back now to Ephesians 6 and look in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There's your sword. There's your weapon. All right, but first of all, it talks about the helmet. You wouldn't last long in combat without a helmet. Okay? Because even if you don't take a direct hit to your head, you might fall down and crack it open. All right? So, and you can survive a lot of damage, or you can even survive loss of body parts, your arms and legs, but an injury to the head, that'll kill you quick. Without the helmet of salvation, meaning you're not saved, there's no chance to defeat Satan. He's got free run of your life if you're not saved. And you will burn with him in hell if you don't get that helmet of salvation. Now the Roman soldier sharpened his sword on both sides to a razor edge. And that was a formidable weapon. That was a powerful, frightening weapon in that day. Today you could shoot the guy before he ever got close to you, but in that day that was a frightening, powerful weapon. And that was the ultimate weapon in close combat. And the Christian's sword is even sharper, though. Now look in Hebrews chapter 4. Verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All right. This is the Christian's main weapon. It's your main weapon. This is, we call it the old 66 caliber book. All right? And it's won more victories than any weapon on the face of the earth. Without it, you have nothing to fight with. And along with the power of prayer, that's another weapon. You have the two most powerful weapons that the world's ever known: the Word of God and prayer. This sword that you've got there in your lap, that's your smart missile, that's your laser gun, that's your nuclear bomb, all wrapped up in that one weapon. And it absolutely must be your final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Not to have it and use it, that is just guaranteeing that you're going to be weak, you'll be ignorant, and you are going to be defeated as a Christian before you ever get started. And so, thank you. My wife always knows when I'm having troubles with my throat. So a Christian soldier's strength and his success in the fight is going to be directly related to his knowledge. Add to your faith knowledge, right? Second Peter chapter 1. And his use of this indispensable weapon. What do I mean indispensable? Meaning you cannot do without it. It's absolutely necessary. It's essential. You've got to have it. The living Word of God. Okay, if you expect any success in this, in your spiritual battles. Okay, verse 18, back in Ephesians 6, verse 18. Here's your other weapon. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay, so this is the other half of your arsenal of weapons. Now, look at Psalm 55. David's a good example. There's a praying man for you right there. Psalm 55. And look at verses 17 and 18. David was a great warrior, wouldn't you say? And guess what? He prayed three times a day. Psalm 55, 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. All right, three times mentioned there, but I have a feeling he prayed whenever he needed to pray as well. Okay, but so prayer, what is prayer? That is the medium. That is the means of conveyance, the means of getting your thoughts, your desires, your needs to the Lord. Okay? And that's also the means by which we unleash the power that we have in Christ through the Holy Ghost. If you do not pray regularly and fervently, what does that mean? Passionately, you know, and pray in the Spirit. If you're not doing that, you're not using the full power that God has placed at your disposal through Christ. Prayer is very important, and it's one of the things, unfortunately, that we neglect, and therefore we're weaker than we should be. Think about it this way: a nuclear missile, pretty powerful thing, isn't it? But that thing is harmless if it has no delivery system to propel it from where you are to where your enemy is. Okay? Consider the Word of God as your training and your tactical manual. Okay, it's a powerful weapon that has no equal. There's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. But what you've learned about Christian combat from the book, it's got to be put to use. It's like your nuclear missile, but you have to have a way to propel it to the enemy. Prayer, that's your delivery system. It puts in motion God's will, and it activates all your weapon systems that are found in the Word of God. If you want to win the Christian battle that God set before you as an individual, you will walk in the Spirit, you will fellowship with the Lord, you'll study the Bible faithfully, you'll pray fervently, and you'll put on the whole armor of God. Many, many people are saved, and they never even enter the fight because they just don't realize that once they're saved, they're engaged in spiritual warfare, whether they like it or not. There's no exceptions. And if there was no war, there wouldn't be any need for training, or wouldn't be any need for weapons or armor. But there is, and that's why God supplied it for us. So the question is, will you fight for Him? And I guess probably the best way to end a lesson like this, I think you're all in the battle. I think you've been in the battle. You've been Christians for a while. But there might be someone who listens to this lesson sometime and they don't have that helmet of salvation. Okay? And so first of all, let me say, we need to ask ourselves, am I in the fight? And if so, if I'm in the fight, do I have on all the armor? Okay? And if I don't, I need to get on my knees and seek the Lord's face and make sure I get prepared for that battle. Because there is a battle. And that's the lesson for Christians. All of this has been a lesson for Christians. But for the person who's not saved, that person, they're not in the family of God. They're not part of His army. Okay? But we know they're still being attacked. And they probably don't even know it. The devil, he's working constantly to blind the unsaved person to the truth. The Bible says it this way in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They're blinded, spiritually blinded, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You've been deceived. The devil, he's the god of this world. He wants you in hell with him. Is that what you want? No, I'm not talking to Christians now. But, you don't have to go to hell with the devil. It's not necessary because God provided a way for you to get rid of your sins. You just have to trust him, and you need to do it his way. The Bible says in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can't be more sure than that. That's not a maybe or a might or possibly. That's thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you believe Jesus died for your sins and that his shed blood alone and nothing added to that is enough to save you, all you got to do is receive him. All you got to do is pray. Speak to the Lord. Use that medium of prayer to convey what you want to say to him and ask him for that free gift of salvation using your own words. You need an example? Say something like, Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. Just like the Bible says, I confess that I know Jesus paid for my sins on the cross, and I now repent of those sins, and I'd like to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If you do that, He won't deny you, and He will save you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for reminding us of our need for the whole armor of God, not just a bits and pieces of it. And Lord, thank you for reminding us that we're out there in a battle. We've got enemies trying to figure out ways to get those fiery darts to destroy us. Help us, Lord, to make sure we got a big old shield in front of us, that we increase our faith, we ask you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have our feet shod with the preparation of peace, bringing that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out into the world so they can have peace. Lord, help us to use the knowledge that we've learned in our church to as our greatest weapon. Lord, help us not to just store away all that knowledge and waste it. Lord, we need to be taking that knowledge and passing it on and protecting ourselves as well when false doctrine comes our way and other things that try to destroy our faith and shrink our shield. Lord, we thank you for providing for us the things that we need in this spiritual battle. And we thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have that one day we won't need it anymore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.